Welcome, 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 welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Monday to you. Monday, August the 12th. Hey, y'all, I'm in Florida right now. Got my man Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe with me on this podcast. And the reason why it's great to have Gary here, because he's about to give us some insightful stuff on Al Horford. So this podcast, we're going to just talk about Al. First of all, we're going to talk about the type of player he is, his leadership qualities. Secondly, we're going to talk about, you know, why he didn't go back to Boston. You know, Boston, the Sixers basically gave him more money and more years than Boston was going to. And thirdly, how do we think he'll fit in with Joel Embiid? So what's up, Wash? So talk about Al Horford. I mean, how do you think that he'll affect the Sixers? I mean, what's the biggest impact that he'll provide?
I think he'll lead by example. If you're looking for Al to be this rah-rah type of guy, that's not who he is. He'll say something when it needs to be said, but he gives a old-school professional NBA approach, and I think that that's important for young players to learn how to live and survive in the league as long as he has been in the league. You got to remember, like, you look at his Florida team, Joakim Noah's kind of hanging on. Corey Brewer the same. Like, he's got that lasting power. When you're in the league 12, 13 years, I mean, that says a lot. So I think Keith, even from his whole thing, what time he comes to the arena, how he prepares himself, his seriousness, that's going to rub off on guys like Simmons and Embiid, because he's an old school pro. He's a family man. He's a guy who shows you this is what you have to do to stay in this league until into your mid-30s. And I think that's important. On the floor, Al can stretch the floor as a three-point shooter. He can rebound. He's not a great rebounder. When the Celtics, in terms of, like, when he got to Boston, and his stats don't pop out at you, you know, but he's the most valuable 13.7 rebound guy you're going to get. He defends, he makes a key bucket, he very rarely fouls out a game, he doesn't make a lot of bad decisions on the floor, so I think you're going to get a total professional player. But then again, also, he's 33 years old, and he's not going to play a full 82. I mean, his knees are not as strong as they used to be. So you might see a slight decline, but I don't think they need Al to be, you know, Atlanta Hawks Al. They need him to be just a complete professional player.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, you know, they don't need him to be the Atlanta Hawks Al. But where do you see him fitting in at? Like, I mean, when you look at it, Embiid, no matter who they bring in, I know Tobias is the $180 million man. But at the end of the day, for the Sixers to be successful, it's going to have to be the Joel Embiid show again. You know, they're going to have to get him. You know, Ben Simmons is an all-star, a guy who is you know, working on his jump shot, and that should improve. So where do you see Al fitting in? I mean, is he going to be Al Horford a role player? I mean, how do you see that working out?
Well, I don't think they need him to be. I mean, he can be the third or fourth leading scorer on the team. Remember, you know, you got Tobias and you got Joel, so those are going to be the second. And who knows what kind of more skill set Ben offensively will bring to the table this year. You would like to think that he will improve offensively as he gets more mature. So Al could be the fourth leading scorer on the team. And I don't think, yeah, you don't need vintage Al Horford. You just need a consistent guy who's going to stretch the floor. I think one of the reasons he left Boston was he saw that he was going to probably have to play center again. And he doesn't like to, you know, that's a physical position, and he's not a big, bulky guy. So he gets beat up in there with the big guys, the Embiid types of players, those dudes, you know. So I think that it was very attractive to him that he can play four most of the time. He can slide into a stretch five when Embiid gets a break and they want to go small or whatever. But I think it was very important for Horford to be able to play power forward primarily most of the time.
Now, when he was with Atlanta, you know, they had him, they had Millsap, you know, guys like that. He was, you know, very successful. Do you see that? Do you feel like he and Embiid could coexist?
I think Al can coexist with anybody. He's not a tough guy to play with because he's not a selfish guy. He's not going to take a bunch of shots away from Joel. He'll stretch the floor. You know, one thing I think was a concern of the Celtics is his three-point shooting dipped this year, past season, as opposed to the previous two seasons. So if Al can become or, you know, get back to that 37% three-point, you don't need to be 45, but 36, 37% where you have to respect that shot, I think it's going to be wonders for the Philadelphia offense because they, you know, losing J.J. Redick, they need shooters.
All right. And so you look at it right now. So if we had to say it, Embiid's going to be the guy. Tobias is number two. You know, and then it's probably like Ben and Al Horford on any given night being like the third leading scorer. And Al should be good with that. The thing about it is, yeah, that's what people told me. It was one of those things where he doesn't like playing the center spot. He looks at him, even though he's effective, he looks at himself as a power forward. And I think, you know, when you look at a guy like the people who they had in the past, you know, they had some power forwards who really just didn't fit in. I mean, they were good, but they weren't like Al Horford type of guys. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that would be a good mix right then and there. But my question is, you know, but my question is, why leave Boston? I mean, we get it. I mean, basically, it's simple. I mean, when we get right back from this break, it's a little simple, and we'll talk about that when we get right back. I mean, let's keep it real. He left because Boston didn't want to give him 4 years, correct?
Correct. I think it just kind of unraveled in front of their face. Like, I think the perception was throughout the year, everybody knew he had an opt-out. Okay, so it was like, I think that Celtics thought this was going to go very easy. He'll opt out of the $30 million. Okay, he's just turned 33 years old. He'll opt out of the $30 million final year of his deal. The Celtics will bring him back with a nice, neat three-year, $60 million deal. He gets the security. He gets $60 million instead of $30. And all is well because everybody's happy. So, as you know, June approached, the Kyrie thing went down. And obviously, we can talk about, you know, the tampering that's gone on and some of these early phone calls. But Al obviously got wind, however he got wind of it, through his agent, through a little birdie, through a letter, whatever it was, that somebody was going to give him big money. And it was going to be $4 and $100 million. And the Celtics were like, we're not trying to give you four, and we're definitely not trying to give you 25 a year. So that's where the sticky point became, where it was like the Celtics said, thanks, but no thanks. Remember, for your Sixer fans, the Celtics still have to figure out if they're going to sign Jaylen Brown to a long-term deal, and then Jason Tatum's going to come up next year. And if he has a good year, he's going to – I don't know if he'll want Ben Simmons money, but I'm sure he'll ask for Ben Simmons type of money. So the Celtics have to be very careful of their salary cap over the years because they're going to have to pay Brown and Tatum. And then now you got Kemba on the team. Gordon Hayward has an opt-out this summer. I think he'll opt in. So, honestly, they had to be careful. And I just think paying a 36-year-old guy $25 million for them, they just didn't see that as being feasible. Where you could, well, because let's face it, Keith, like it is 13-7. Like if you can get two guys at, you know, $10 million per to eat up that type of production, it might not be as glamorous as what Al brought to the table or workman like, but you can do that financially and save yourself some money.
Yeah, and true, but and it is just 13-7. But to me, he was the difference between the Sixers and the Celtics. I mean, the Celtics owned the Sixers. Let's keep it real. The Sixers won that one last game in the regular season, right? But other than that, it was like the Celtics were kind of ambushed. They didn't know what they were getting themselves into. But at the same time, it, like, you lost them not only to a division. I mean, you lost not only to another team. You lost it to a division rival, a team that he was the difference maker.
That hurts. I mean, they lost Kyrie to the Nets and Horford to the Sixers. It can't get no more hurtful than that. You know, they'd even rather have somebody sign with the Lakers because they only play them twice a year and they're not in the division.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, no, Horford's departure hurt the Celtics. Like, they're going to be a different team. I do think the fans understood, do we want to pay him 4 years, $100 million? His market value shot up tremendously in that couple of weeks because they thought, well, they have a nice, neat, easy 3 years, $60 million deal. Everybody's happy. The Celtics don't break the bank. Al gets the security he wants. He liked Boston. His family liked Boston. But, there was obviously a prettier girl at the prom, or however you want to put it, where the Sixers had the 4 year, $109 million. And I think the fourth year is partially guaranteed.
Yeah, he had some bonuses and all that stuff.
So I think they put a package together, and then the opportunity to play full time, most of the time power forward, and play with Tobias, play with Embiid, play with Simmons, good young talent, I think was attractive. And I'm sure he said he knew Kyrie was leaving, so he probably said, I don't know what the Celtics, like what their future is, how is this going to work with, you know, he didn't know that he was going to go get Kemba, but because they used his money to get Kemba, available money. But I think that it was just, the Sixers were a better fit for him, he felt. And we'll see how that goes. I mean, Philadelphia fans are tough. Boston fans are tough. I mean, they called him in some circles Average Al because his first year he didn't get off to – and I told people, give him 20, 25, 30 games. It might be the same thing with the Sixers. Like, if you're looking for him to go nuts on opening night, but wait till February and March and where he'll make that big shot, get that key rebound, get that key defensive stop, and I think those Sixer fans will appreciate him.
All right, and how does he deal with the criticism when they call it Average Al?
He pretty much ignored it. I mean, he was always a professional with us. He never went, vented or whatever. He's a total pro. I mean, he's an old school type of NBA player where, you're not going to see him living on social media. You know, he'll sit there and read his paper before the game. He'll do a professional job. I mean, and a lot of these young dudes need to see that. They need to see how you stay in this league, into your mid-30s.
Yeah, but I'm talking about he didn't, when the crowd, like when they were calling him Average Al, that didn't like affect him at all.
No, Al doesn't do anything, try to do anything he can't do. And okay. I just think he knew, I'm going to win this fans over, and he did. I mean, he ended up being their most indispensable player, one of their most indispensable players to me. Because he just got he did everything. He made all the right plays. I mean, there were times he missed layups. There was time he made a turnover here or there. But in terms of like a consistent, steady effort, Al's your guy.
All right. When we get right back, we'll talk about how you feel the Celtics are going to do. And one thing I want to point out, y'all. Before we were talking about the power forwards, and I said, they had these better than the ones they had. The guy I was talking about is Dario Saric, and primarily. He was Dario's a good guy, but he's not on Al Horford's level. Even that Al is over 30, the Sixers got a better fit in Al Horford. It's just a matter of, what role he's going to take. And like we said, as a 30-something-year-old who's not the first or second option, that's a good fit for the Sixers. But when we get right back, Gary's going to talk to us about, the thoughts of this upcoming season with the Boston Celtics. All right, Gary. So, how do you think the Celtics are going to do this upcoming season?
Keith, I think they're going to be pretty decent. I mean, I think third, fourth, fifth seed in the East. I mean, obviously, Milwaukee and Philly are going to be going at it. I think Toronto's a team to watch, even though they lost Kawhi. I think they're going to have something to prove, and Siakam's going to have a more expanded role. But I think the Celtics, you got a first-rate point guard in Kemba Walker who can score in the fourth quarter. He's a deadly on the pick and roll. He can shoot from the three. There's been a lot of questions about, well, is he a better player than Kyrie? And Kyrie's better. And you would take Kyrie 10 times over 10 over Kemba. And I guess that's true, but it's also fit, personality, a cultural change. And then you've got, they're going to need big things from Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, both of them coming off up and down uneven years. You know, both of them were supposed to take that major next step and both kind of struggled at times. They're going to need big contributions from them. Gordon Hayward, I don't think anyone really knows what to expect. Everybody's in the Celtics organization is hoping that he bounces back better from his injury than he did last year. Last year, he averaged 11 points. It was a struggle. It was an up and down year for him. But, he's got to be better. They need him to be better. I mean, no more injury excuses. He's had a full summer to work out, a full summer to condition, to get his body right, to get his mind right. And guys like, they got Enes Kanter. I like Enes you've seen him. You saw him with the Knicks when they played the Sixers. I mean, he's a dude who can basically gobble up offensive rebounds, score in the paint. He's not a great defender, so he ain't going to take Al's place in that situation, but he's a legit center. And he also get to the free throw line. The Celtics struggle getting to the free throw line. He does two things that they struggle with: get to the free throw line and offensive rebound. He'll help in both categories. So I think they'll be they got star power. I think they'll have a better culture this year, because last year was just poisonous. It just was bad. And so, I think the Celtics are glad Kyrie's gone. I mean, privately, I think they're glad that the whole not knowing what to expect from him every day in terms of his personality is gone. And they're ready to move on. And so I think Kemba will have to play a big part. But I would never not pick them over the Sixers at this point. We'll have to see how those matchups go, or the Bucks.
And, the funny thing is that I'm glad you said that about, privately they're happy that he's gone. Because in a weird kind of way, I kind of think they're better off without him.
Yeah.
I mean, because it got to a point where it was just so toxic and it became about him. And then you got, you have the young guards. Now, again, they lost Terry Rozier, but you have the young guards like, Tatum and Brown. They're a year older. They're more mature, and I think they're a better team. Now, my question is, though, all these guys, like, doing stuff for USA Basketball, how is that going to affect the Celtics, at least early in the season?
Yeah, you hope it brings them together. You hope with their young, these guys are young, except, Kemba's 28, going on 29, but Smart's young. Brown's young, and Tatum's really young. So you hope that it energizes them and gives them an opportunity and kind of a boost going into training camp, that they're playing together, playing for a purpose, see how the cup goes with the World Cup. And, I'm sure they're banking on coming out with a gold medal there. So I think that could only help them. But they're going to have to learn each other with new players. They went through a complete shift, Keith. I mean, Marcus Morris gone, Al Horford gone, Kyrie Irving gone, Terry Rozier gone, right? So five major contributors. Aaron Baines gone, trade him to clear cap space. But I think they think that they've got some fresh air, fresh people on their team. The rookies. Carson Edwards, a high score from Purdue. Grant Williams, workman-like guy from Tennessee. Tremont Waters in the 2-way. So I think they've got more opportunities to be different, but maybe even better, and definitely they'll get along better.
All right. And when I was talking about now, so we all know Kemba's going to make the world team, right? The rest of them, are they trying out for the world team, or are they on the select team?
No, the other three are on the world team.
See, that's what I'm saying. So, if they go to the chip, which you expect, that's what, September 15th? Training camp starts October the 1st?
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be four weary players, man. That's a long summer. Now, again, team bonding is great, but that could affect you negatively, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it could get them tired, but you just hope, you hope the USA experience being playing high level basketball against guys like Donovan Mitchell and guys like that, who are, you know, the other players on the team, you hope that upgrades, you know, their level of play. And then the international game, I think you've got to, you know, you want to give them confidence. And I just think this is a good way for them to do it. But yeah, it's definitely bumps into training camp where they're not going to get much of a break to take any time off. They're going to be have to start playing 5-on-5 and, you know, full court with their teammates who are all going to be, you know, as every team does, gets there a couple weeks early and just starts playing pickup. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, it could be costly, but I think it'll be overall a good experience.
All right. Well, look, Wash, I want to thank you for joining this podcast. And if y'all haven't already done, you need to follow my man on Twitter and do like I do. I subscribe to the Boston Globe. You need to do that. Read his stories. What's your Twitter handle for him, Wash?
G. Washburn Globe. G. Washburn Globe.
All right, y'all. And he went to the second best college in the country. He went to Cal. You know number one is Pitt.
Yeah, sure.
All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.